9 o'clock, Jim Davis from the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Masters underway. Who do you like to win it? Did I forget about the Koepka knee injury or issue with his knee? Thanks, Scott, for
good call.
Yeah. That'll be that.
I forgot too. But then again, I know. Yeah. I know nothing about
golf. Don't na-na-na me when you didn't know that either. Forgot that he had a knee issue.
But if Colin Morikawa comes through in the span of 6 days, I got Baylor and the Masters champion.
It's pretty good.
I will na-na-na-na-na.
No, I know you will.
All the way through the summer.
You will. I'll get tired of it.
I'm a very anxious loser. I am an incredibly sore winner.
Are you really?
I am. Yeah.
I've never deemed you a quote gracious loser.
Well, it's because I don't lose a whole lot. I am a terrible winner.
See right there. That's. Yeah.
I am a very poor winner.
Yes, you are. You are a very poor winner. And not exactly a great loser either, yeah. To be quite honest. Let's just be honest about that. You're not great at either.
I'm a gracious loser. I'm not very good winner. I'm a poor winner.
All right.
I can't understand why people don't like me.
So who do you think will win the Masters? I'm still going with Koepka. And by the way, if you think you're going to text in for the driver contest, that ended yesterday.
Yeah.
So just want to make sure you understand. All right. So in the garage, NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. That is coming up in just a little bit. But joining us right now in studio, Tina Snover with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. The not a champion coming up for both the Valley and for Montrose as well. Tina's got to get that microphone adjusted.
See,
we should have told you, you need to bring your own screwdriver.
Yeah.
You got to bring your own screwdriver, Tina, to fix it. No.
Bring your own engineering team.
You did not break it. It's just been a problem with it.
Did it get COVID?
It might have. It might still be recovering from COVID. We're not entirely sure.
It was pre-broken.
Pre-broken. But Tina's in here to talk about the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, not a champions. We hope to talk with Prince of Makamura, Nebraska great. We'll welcome him in, even though he's a Nebraska Cornhusker. We're okay with that. We're good. Got my
Herky
the Hawkeye, my little red over here.
Yeah, he's been around.
Yeah, he's, of course, as a rookie, won a Super Bowl with the Giants. And so we'll hope to speak with him. And the next week, maybe possibly, please, Justin Simmons next week.
We
would love to talk with Justin
again. He's on vacation and, you know, he now has a pregnant wife. So
right, he's got a lot on his plate right
now.
Yeah,
and like a three-year-old running around.
Brand new contract in the Broncos as well.
And he just bought his first house.
Uh-huh.
So
Justin Simmons has nothing going on in his life right now. Nothing at all.
Nothing busy. Finally got a contract. And I've been waiting to talk. Prince and I talked last week, and he was, you know, they have the same agent.
Right. And we thought that he might end up with the Broncos because of Vic Fangio. Prince played for Vic in Chicago. We thought that there was a chance that maybe he might end up with the Broncos.
So he was like, man, I'm hoping to make a big announcement at the banquet. I was like, that would be so great.
That would be great. Well, maybe
I haven't talked to him in like a week, so I don't know the latest.
Well, hopefully we can make contact with him.
He usually answers my call, but he's not right now. So.
Apparently, he is a very busy guy, just like Justin Simmons.
Maybe he got a contract, so he bought another house.
Maybe he's on the phone with his agent right now. Maybe he's coming to Denver. Who knows what's going on?
His whole family's coming, actually. His wife, Pilar, and we are just super excited. He is probably, and Justin, too. I mean, both of them are the most gracious, just humble dudes I've ever got to work with, and I'm just so thankful for their willingness to come and
well, we want to thank you for the time you had Justin on our program, and really enjoyed talking with him, and very very involved in the Denver community, very involved in social activism. Obviously, his faith, he's very out there in regard to promoting his faith, and that's why he's involved with the Night of Champions. But I do want to mention too, we don't want to leave him out because he's one of our favorite guys in this program, and that's Colorado Mesa football coach Tremaine Jackson.
Yes.
Speaking about a guy that has got himself very involved in the community since coming to town, Coach Jack is going to be part of the Night of Champions as well.
Yes, he's coming, and he showed up right before COVID, so it's been hard to like do public events, and so it was really neat when we asked Coach Coach Jack to come. He goes, you know what? That sounds normal and fun, and I'm ready for that. I'm ready for something
absolutely
normal and something fun.
Ready for something that feels like normal. And certainly the Night of Champions is that. Tina Snover with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes with us. So April 16th in Fruita, and then Saturday, April 17th in Montrose. And that's when Justin Simmons of the Broncos will be there. Prince of Makamura, Coach Jackson over at Colorado Mesa for the, hard to believe, it's the sixth annual.
Yes.
Colorado Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Last year we were online, but yes.
Yeah, and the fourth one for Montrose, which because I remember when you branched out to the Montrose area.
Yes, and Justin was so gracious to do back-to-back events for us. So that was great. We had Jay Schrader 2 years ago.
Right, because you were in when we talked with Jay, who lives out in St. George, Utah. Really enjoyed talking with him.
Yeah, he's great. He's actually, I think he's now in Vegas. He moved, but we're super excited to have these in-person events. It does look like that Friday night, starting at 7 o'clock, we will be able to go live on Facebook for kind of the program part of it.
Right.
Before that, 5 to 7 is our live auction, silent auction, photo booth, and we have some fun things to live auction off during dinner and things like that. But then at 7 o'clock, we will be able to go live on Facebook at Northwestern Colorado Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
So the Night of Champions, once again, out in Fruita on the 16th, and that's going to be at the Victory Life Church. The
yes.
Montrose Banquet will be at the Montrose County Events Center at the fairgrounds.
The big one, yeah.
Yeah, the big one. And so the schedule is going to be kind of different for each one, for the one at Fruita at Montrose. Give us kind of the differences for the folks here in the Valley that will be going to it, and then for the folks listening on 102.1 in Montrose and Delta that will
yes.
be going.
Yes, so Friday night, We it's a new location for us, so everyone needs to pay attention and go to Victory Life Church in Fruita, not where we used to host it because we outgrew it. So that's why we had to move, which was great. But yeah, we're going to start the evening in the foyer at Victory Life Church with kind of more of a party-like atmosphere because it's a celebration that we get to be in person. And then at 7 o'clock, we're going to shift to the sanctuary at Victory Life Church. So it's free to attend, but registration is required because I do have to hook up John Young, my caterer, with the ribber with a head count. You know what I mean?
He does great stuff, by the way.
The proper amount of meat.
Exactly. Got to know how many people are going to show up.
Tell me, and no offense, Grand Junction, but y'all are a little RSVP challenged. You know what I'm saying?
Look, I'm a Valley lifer, and it's been that way forever.
Just make a decision.
Go, on the 16th, we're going to go out to Fruita. We're going to go to the FCA Night of Champions.
Yes or no? Like, there's, you know, but there's so many events great events happening now in the Valley that we're kind of reopening, so I get it, but we would love to have you come, free to attend. It's going to be so much fun. We've really set the stage to just have a fun night of fellowship. And then Saturday night will be a little more normal, traditional to our banquets, but same thing with our VIP reception with our sponsors and an opportunity. We do try to have an opportunity for everyone to meet Prince and Justin and Tremaine. The champion part of the night is really our coaches and athletes locally that we want to highlight and celebrate what God has done here in the Valley, especially this past year. We still have an amazing group of kids and coaches that are living out their faith every day on the sports fields and sports mats and sports gyms. And we're just excited that our ministry's grown in COVID and it, you know, threw us a big curveball about a year ago, but we were able to pivot and still get to connect with coaches and athletes, which is our heart.
Tina Snover with Fellowship of Christian Athletes with us. And yeah, I think that, I can't think of a period of time that the faith of everybody, but especially athletes, you know, it has been tested with COVID and, you know, whether or not they're going to play, what am I going to do,
right,
you know, with my time that I normally would devote a part of it to playing my sport and those things. And probably, I'm sure, for many, a chance to reevaluate their faith and where they are in their faith as well. So I think it's COVID was a challenge for everybody and for athletes and coaches. But you said it's grown. About how many coaches, athletes, individuals, Tina, are involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes here on the Western Slope?
Well, it's so funny, Jim. We, you know, in this past year of COVID in Western Colorado, we've doubled the size of our staff from 7 to 14 of us are now
serving.
And
even one of our, Matt Kennedy, one of our guys here, has been one of your guys
Matt
as well.
Matt is on staff at the campus, and he's one of the many people that have been able to raise support. You know, we're faith-funded, and it's just, I mean, had you told me a year ago I would have had the opportunity to double my team to do this, I probably would have.
So you're crazy. What are you talking about?
In your face. And like, what? But with that, doubling of staff means more impact in the community. And so our ministry shifted a bit and changed because we're not able to get in the schools, but it's been kind of more quality versus quantity.
Right.
You know, and really connecting with people, because everybody in the sports world this past year has had an identity crisis. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is. Like, if you say, hey, Jim Davis, hi, how are you? I'm a radio, you know, is that who you are or is that what you do?
Right.
And so that's our main goal with FCA, is helping coaches and athletes find their identity in who they are and who they were made to be versus what they do, and having a performance mentality. And so it's just been an amazing opportunity to really meet people where they're at. And the other thing that's been cool this past year is coaches and athletes now have time to hang out because everything's been canceled. So it's like, hey, let's do a huddle here and let's connect over here. And it's just been an incredible opportunity to really love on and connect with. And then we have great coaches like Coach Tremaine that, you know, truly they love it. He loves his athletes, you know, right. And he cares for them as people and not just as performers. And that's the heart of FCA, is helping coaches realize, you know, these are human beings we're dealing with. They're not just there to make you look good and to win games, but they're people that we're trying to develop.
Tina Snover with Fellowship of Christian Athletes with us. We've got somebody that's listening today, maybe because we're up into Hotchkiss and Delta, Montrose, Olathe in that area, and all over the Western Slope, Tina. And I know a lot of schools, a lot of individuals, coaches are involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, but if there's maybe somebody out there that thinks, okay, then this is the time that I'd like to get involved, particularly with everything that's happened last year, having this kind of additional support system for our athletes and our coaching staff would be a really good thing. How do they do that? How do they go about getting involved with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes?
Oh, that's a great question, Jim. I would first direct them to probably our website to get in touch with us. Our big website, worldwide website, is simply fca.org. We are now in over 100 countries around the world. But locally here, westerncoloradofca.org is literally our website, westerncoloradofca.org, O-R-G. And there you can email us, call us, connect with us, because we care. And we care about every inch of Western Colorado. That's our assignment. Like I said, our staff is growing. We've hired our first ever full-time area rep in up in Glenwood Springs.
Very good.
We got people in Cedar Edge, Montrose, all the way down to Durango. Like I said, we got a full staff here at the college, and you know, it's just crazy to think about. And I came back on staff with FCA part-time in 2014, and it was me working 10 hours a week, you know, trying to juggle a couple jobs, and took the plunge to come back on staff with FCA full-time in 2015. And just to sit here and think, man, we got a crew of people that are willing, able, and ready to help and serve. Even the smallest of areas. I mean, like, I've been to Nukla, I've been to Meeker, like
been all,
I mean,
over
all
the place.
These little towns, and it's so fun to meet people from Western Colorado and also learn, like, why do you live in Western Colorado?
Sure.
You know, and that's probably been I've only lived in Western Colorado over 9 years, and I'm from back east. I actually was born in Phoenix, but so I've been kind of all over too, and this is a unique, beautiful place to live. And we are available, though. Western Colorado FCA is available to plug you in and get you resources, if not people, to help grow you in your faith and meet you where you're at, and be available to answer questions, especially for you, like middle school, high school kids. Like you guys have had to live through something none of us can even begin to relate to. Like, we weren't 13 years old going through a world pandemic. Mm-hmm. Like, and so we're so blessed to have the opportunity to talk to so many kids about what they've lost. You know, these kids have, especially if you were a senior or junior this year trying to get a college scholarship, like, how do you do that in a world pandemic? I mean, we know families that have left Colorado, they're moving just simply for sport, you know.
And we saw some of that happen during the football season. We wasn't sure if we were going to have one here in the state. And then kids started to come back and play. And it was, yeah.
What do you do? I mean, that's major life challenge. Trauma on young kids. And so, and just again, with our depression rate and just the spirit of loss, like, you have to process that. And that is something we want to help athletes walk through is how do you process loss? How do you grieve properly when things out of your control are out of your control?
Absolutely. Tina Snover with Fellowship of Christian Athletes with us. Now to Champions coming up here in the Valley and also in Montrose. And with us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line will be one of the speakers at the
Did
event.
Did we get him?
Former Nebraska great, former NFLer, Prince Amakamura joins us on the program. Prince, I appreciate the time. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, thank you for coming on today, and I know a big thank you from everybody here on the Western Slope to come to Grand Junction, actually to Fruita, and also to Montrose for the Night of Champions. Let's start out a little bit, Prince, with, I know you're someone that's deeply invested in your faith, and this is something that speaks right to you as an athlete, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Sorry, was that a question? Can you?
It was just a question about your faith and about the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and about your involvement with FCA.
Yeah, so I mean, just a real quick snippet about like my story with FCA is that I was playing high school football, and my freshman football coach said, "Hey, you should go to." FCA meeting or whatever on a Thursday, and I didn't know what it was, and all I heard was that there's going to be Tropicana orange juice and Krispy Kreme donuts, and so that was...
You were sold.
yeah, exactly. That was a dream breakfast for me in high school.
Fun food so, and fellowship.
exactly, man. So I went there, and I don't remember hearing anything about the gospel or Jesus. It wasn't until FCA here in Arizona has like a big camp in the summer, and I end up going to there, and even going to there, I thought I was just going to showcase my talent. I heard there's going to be college coaches there, so I thought I was going to get a scholarship. And so when I got there, my world was really rocked because it was just a different atmosphere. We were having we had little huddles where we were reading the word and talking about the word, and so this was all new to me. And so the final night, the speaker talks about something called the gospel and that it's the good news, and he basically just talks about like how Christ lived, he died and then that he rose again, and that so whoever believes in him will spend eternity with him forever. And so I grew up with like a performance-based mindset, thinking I could earn myself to heaven. So this was a huge weight off of me. And yeah, I ended up getting saved that night. So I tell everyone that FCA didn't save me, but God used FCA as a vessel to get me saved. So I'm a product of SCA, so I'm grateful for them.
Prince Amakamura joining us today. He'll be one of the speakers of the upcoming Night of Champions here on the Western Slope. He joins us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. You had a great career at Nebraska. You end up going to the Giants, and not a bad deal. As a rookie, you get a chance to play in a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl against the Patriots. Take us back to what that was like playing with the Giants. And you know, probably thought, man, every year we're going to go to the Super Bowl and win it. Well, at least your rookie year, you got that chance to go there and be part of upsetting the Patriots in that Super Bowl victory.
Yeah, that whole rookie year was quite it was volatile. It was very up and down for me. When I first signed, I broke my foot the first day, and then never broke a bone in my body, and so I was kind of down on myself, and plus that was like the year like social media was just starting to come alive, and so I was getting you could say attacked by like fans on Twitter saying, "Oh, we got damaged goods, why did we draft you?" and stuff like that. So I was dealing with that a little bit, and then but then 10 weeks later, I play my first game, I get an interception, and so I'm feeling good about myself, and then I have a bad game after that, so it goes up and down. I end up getting benched, and then I pick my head up, and we're in the Super Bowl. We end up in the Super Bowl, and then the guy in front of me ends up cramping or something. So I end up starting the whole second half, and so I remember getting on the field and just locking eyes with Tom Brady, and so it's almost like a starstruck moment. Like, oh my goodness, like, this is the guy. Like, it's almost like Tom Brady's like the Michael Jordan of football. So it's almost like walking on the field and then, like, just seeing somebody you've seen dominate the game, like all your lifetime. And so.
Because he's old.
Because he's old, but also he's dominant. And so usually there's like a thing, like, anytime a rookie comes on the field, the veteran knows to attack the rookie just to see what the rookie has in his tank, just to see like what he's got. So I knew that as soon as I got in the field to Tom, it was like blood in the water, and he was a shark. So I had to be on my P's and Q's, and he didn't throw at me once, which I was very surprised. And so the score was 21-17, and they had the ball left. It was 3 seconds left. They were like on like the 40-yard, or like the 40 or the 50 going in. So it's the last play, so it's a Hail Mary. And then so Tom just drops back and throws it up. I swear, it seemed like the ball was in the air for like 20 seconds. And then it dropped. Gronkowski almost caught it, but our safety hit him, and we won. And yeah, I thought it was going to be like that every year, but. I didn't go. That was 2011. I won a Super Bowl. I didn't go to the playoffs again until 2018. So, yeah, it's not like that every year.
No doubt. Yeah, Prince of Mockamura joining us today. Hope speak at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, not at Champions. So, Prince, where are you right now in terms of kind of between teams at this point in time? And I think a lot of us thought your old DC, Vic Fangio, Broncos head coach, that. He has Bryce Callahan, guy that you know from your days with the Chicago Bears there. Kyle Fuller's now there. Any chance we might see, kind of like Peaches and Herb reunited, that you'll be with the Broncos in the secondary at some point?
Yeah, I mean, I would love that. I enjoyed playing under Vic and Ed Donatello. I had my best year as a football player playing under them when I was in Chicago. So, and I've spoken to Vic, so I'm sure something could come out of that, but I'm in Arizona right now, just training and hanging with the family, so right now just waiting a little bit.
Well, we'd love to see in the orange and blue of the Broncos. Hopefully that will be the case at some point in time. Hey, Prince, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on today, and thanks for coming to the Western Slope here very, very soon to speak at the Night of Champions.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Prince
Talk
of Mockamura.
You soon, Prince.
Nebraska great. Our good friend Ron Peterson over on the Monkey, probably he would have had a coronary if I would have told him
he
Prince
felt
was
a
coming
disturbance
on today.
In the force.
He probably he would have been over here. Can I talk to him? Can I talk to Prince of Mockamura? No, Ron, settle down.
I'll tell you what, Jim. We have a lot of Nebraska fans in this town.
Yeah. Yeah,
we do.
They are sadly, coming out.
Sadly,
of the
Tina, we do. We do.
Come on.
And I'm friends with some of them, too. So
they're good people.
That one, my friend Craig actually gave me the Nebraska-Iowa little bobblehead
they're
thing.
They're good people.
They are. They are. They tend to be pretty darn good people. But, well, once again, this is coming up on Friday, April 16th, out at Victory Life Church in Fruita. And then the next night in Montrose at the fairgrounds. So, once again, it's free, but you have to
register.
You have to register. And how do they do that?
WesternColoradoFCA.org. Please register by Monday. That would be that'd be preferred. So you have a few days. But you can register for both banquets at WesternColoradoFCA.org. It's real simple online. And we will see you guys next week and in person. And don't forget, if you can't come for some reason, the Friday night one from at 7 o'clock, we will be live on Facebook.
And also, if you'd like to be a banquet sponsor, I'm sure you're still looking for some folks to do that. If there's a business out there listening that'd like to get involved, or an individual.
You can do that at the same place online. All the levels are there, and all the details are on our website, westerncoloradofca.org, 2021 banquet.
Very, very, very good. So make sure you get signed up. Once again, no cost, but you do need to register. So Tina has a head count. Okay, so please do that.
We're trying to, last call, one thing. We had a puppy fall through. We're trying to live auction off a puppy.
Really?
So if anyone's out there that has a cute puppy that they want to donate to FCA for a good cause, we want to live auction it off. I got some people teed up that want to buy a puppy.
Well, I'm hoping that my wife is not listening, because she would probably be one.
I hope she is.
Actually, we already have a... We fostered a puppy recently. No, we have another one kind of already lined. We already have one lined up, actually, at some point this summer.
Who doesn't need a cute puppy?
Like, I know.
It's spring. Come on.
It's that time of the year,
come
right?
Come see the puppy or donate a puppy. If you have a puppy, call Tina, 540-908-7081. I need a puppy.
What are some of the other auction items, though, besides maybe a puppy?
You want to talk about, so my husband, Jim, you and my husband need to hang out more, because he is a sports memorabilia hoarder.
That's what you've told me about
him. He tells me it's a hobby, but I've seen hoarders.
Yeah,
and
hobby schmobby on that, yeah.
We might have a submission.
I think somebody has a little addiction issue potentially,
yeah, and
right?
And then we didn't have, you know, this last year, so my house is full of all kinds of stuff. So we actually have some like VRBOs, we have some trips, we have local stuff, lots of sports memorabilia. We're going to live auction off maybe some fun activities with Prince and Justin, like... We're gonna let you tackle them, or maybe they'll tackle you.
Does Vic Fangio know about that? Because I'm thinking Vic's probably, or their agents probably. Right. What are you gonna have them do?
Why it's a big surprise. Samurai suits?
Yes. We're gonna get some samurai suits. We're gonna have a photo booth fun with Justin and Prince. No, I think Justin's gonna bring some jerseys to sign, and but there's stuff for the ladies too. We're putting together some like date night baskets, and you know, maybe some wine in there and things like that, because you know that was cool. Jesus's first miracle, so
there
it's,
we go,
it's
yeah, exactly. It's a miracle that continues on here on the Western Slope.
So any vineyards out there that want to donate some Merlot, like that. But no, it's just gonna be a fun night. If you just want a date, like, this is the perfect date night. Come on out. Like I said, it's free to attend. We will have fun stuff to do, just an inspiring fun night. Surprise your wife, and we will make it fun for the wives. I know sometimes I'm a rare breed where I love sports, and I know not all wives are into it, but there will be something for everyone for sure. It's a fun, exciting thing to come, because we get to hear about what God's doing right here in Western Colorado, and there's going to be something for everyone, I promise.
Well, keep up the fantastic work and the growth of FCA. That's just wonderful, considering what's been going on.
Yes.
With the pandemic and everything. So I appreciate the time, and we'll keep our fingers crossed for maybe Justin Simmons next week.
Maybe. Yes, we'll... I'll see. I'm doing my best, Jim.
Whatever you can do. We appreciate you bringing Prince on today. If we can get Justin on, that would be fantastic
as
well.
He's a fan favorite, that's for
sure. Oh, no doubt about it. Tina, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, we will take a break. We'll come back in the garage of NASCAR. Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan, coming up in a few right here on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Would you like to win the Masters? Get that into us today. Text us, call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Your tournament update as this refreshes. Your leader,
holding,
right, actually.
Spinning. There we go.
Tied for the lead, Siwoo Kim. Also, and at 2 under. Also, tied at 2 under from South Africa. And I know I'm going
Gary to Player?
Totally destroy his name. Christian Bezenhout. And I'm sure that is wrong.
Close enough.
Anyway, they're both 2 under right now. You have in third, Michael Thompson. USA, USA, and third?
America.
Hashtag America.
America.
So that's your leaderboard right now at the Masters. Let's see. Do we have some more picks on the Masters? Let's see. We got most of the guesses on our who is it from earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But who do you think is going to win? I'm going with Brooks Koepka.
One leg.
Colin Morikawa for you.
Yep.
So those are our picks.
I feel very affirmed that Scott was thinking that was a good pick.
Yeah. I think Scott thought mine was okay if Brooks didn't have a little knee issue right now.
Yeah, if he wasn't a one leg this tournament.
You know what? Tiger did it on one leg, right?
Yeah, that's Tiger, though.
I know.
Well, Tiger did a lot of things not many other golfers can
do. Unfortunately for Tiger right now, he can't do anything on either leg because of, true. Yeah. Do you think, I want to go back to the Tiger Woods information from the LA Sheriff's Office about his accident. That he was exceeding 80 miles an hour in a 45 mile per hour zone, dangerous, twisty stretch of road.
Mm-hmm.
That people, and some have been up in arms, that he's not going to be charged with reckless driving. And some people are insinuating that he is getting preferential treatment because of who he is. Fair, unfair.
The thought behind he's getting that's absolutely fair. If you and I were doing 40 over according to the car's black box, you know who's getting a reckless driving ticket? You and I.
But here's the thing,
though no one was there to witness it.
But here's the standard, though. That's the standard is that the law enforcement or somebody has to witness you driving at that rate of speed. Not every car is a black box, mm-hmm. right? So that's not a standard that does not exist for everybody with their automobile. If the standard is cop with a radar gun, mm-hmm. clocks you doing 80, you get written up, or that was the case, then I tend to want to think that he is being treated with the same standard as if you or I did this. Do I question a little bit? Yeah, I scratch my head a little bit. I tend to wonder if, you or me, just average Joes.
Or Jims, if you
will. Or Jims, or Buckeyes, if that happened to us, would we get written up for a reckless driving ticket?
Yes.
I want to believe the LA County Sheriff's Office is handling this in a fair manner.
Like, while the fire department is pulling us from the car, the state cop is like, this dude was definitely reckless driving. That's how quickly we get the ticket.
Yeah,
that's why I want to be rich and famous.
The air on the side of law enforcement that this is the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And their standard is not different for you or me or for Tiger Woods or for anybody. I do wonder, though, if this was you or me, would this be the same outcome?
Yeah.
I'm going to defer to what the Sheriff's Department is saying and that's their standard. And if there's nobody there to see it, it's like, the tree falling in the forest, right? Mm-hmm. If there's nobody there to hear it, there's nobody there to see it, well,
there's no one there to see red light cameras either, but alas, you still get those tickets. There's no one there to see you speeding but a camera.
Well, but there wasn't a camera there to see him, though.
But if technology's technology, the black box tells you that he was speeding.
But that is not something that a county, a state, federal government, it was not a camera that was put up in regard to, like, what you're referencing, cameras at stoplights.
Yeah.
They can still get a ticket. Okay, because that's a camera that is there, and they have the visual evidence that is their evidence. Mm-hmm. The black box does not belong to the LA County Sheriff's Office. The black box is in the Genesis vehicle, which he crashed, doing over 80 miles an hour.
Doing almost twice the speed limit.
Should he be written up for a ticket? Probably so. Probably should.
Should, yeah.
But I want to defer to the LA County Sheriff's Office that's the standard they go by for everybody. Now, I would love to go back and see, though, mm-hmm. if this was not Tiger Woods, and because something like this has probably happened somewhere
this
down
was
the line.
James Woods.
Or it was pretty obvious that high, a rate of high speed led to a crash.
Mm-hmm.
Did that person get a ticket? Even if they didn't exactly see it. If the crime scene or the traffic investigator went out and said, "Hey, look at these, you know, these skid marks are indicating the blah blah blah,"
they were definitely going 80 miles an hour around the corner.
Does that put them in a position where, hey, we've got some evidence to prove that you, because they know that he accelerated, because he obviously panicked, which okay, I understand why he would have, but I don't know. I want to believe that the guy's been through enough, right?
Right.
I mean, this could be the end of his golfing career. Injury's going to take a long time to deal with. The possibility has to go through his mind that, man, I could have left my kids if I had a dad. I mean, a lot of horrible things. Thank God I didn't kill somebody.
Right.
That's enough of a price to pay for Tiger Woods at this point in time. All right, we move on. And it's time for this day in sports history. We go back to 1935. Gene Sarazen gets a double eagle on the 15th hole to erase Craig Wood's three-stroke lead. He goes on to win the Masters. 1943, Detroit Red Wings beat the Boston Bruins 2-0 to win the Stanley Cup with a four-game sweep. 1956, Jack Burke Jr. comes from 8 strokes back to beat Ken Venturi by 1 and win the Masters. 1971, the first legal off-track betting system in the United States opens up in New York City. Also, 1974, in the home opener in Atlanta, Hank Aaron breaks Babe Ruth's career record by hitting his 715th home run, connecting off Al Downing of the Dodgers in the fourth inning. 1975, Frank Robinson, first black manager in the bigs, debuts as a player manager for the Indians, hits a home run in his first at-bat as a DH to help beat the Yankees 5-3. 1989, Alex English scores 26 points to become the first player in NBA history to score 2,000 points in 8 straight seasons. Nuggets beat the Utah Jazz that night, 110-106. Also, 1990, Nick Faldo becomes the second player to win consecutive Masters, beating Ray Floyd on the second hole of a sudden-death playoff. Also on this day was when Bubba Watson saves par from the Pine Straw to win the Masters in the second playoff hole over Louis Oosthuizen. All right, so there you go. 9:40 coming up. We'll go in the garage to NASCAR. Fred and J-Rod brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan NASCAR with the weekend off for Easter. So we'll talk about the upcoming race with the guys in just a moment. All right, the Jim Davis Show is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. I am so excited that baseball is back. There's nothing like watching a game with great weather, a cold drink, and a little action on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never bet on baseball before, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. FanDuel's letting new users swing for the fences risk-free. You get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. And once you have an account, you can get up to $25 back each day if your same-game parlay bet falls one leg short. This way, you can combine multiple baseball bets for an even bigger win all season long. You can put some money down today on the Rockies and the Diamondbacks as John Gray gets on the bump for the Rockies. So I have a multi-baseball parlay coming up today with the Rockies part of that. There's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook's America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds in all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same-game parlay, and always-on promotions to let you get more action out of every game day. And when you win, FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with the promo code KTMM to get on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code KTMM. 21 and older, present, Colorado first online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody,
I want to go fast.
All right, time to go in the garage and NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. Get information from their website, pricing, everything at MontroseFordNissan.com. NASCAR off last weekend for Easter. Martinsville coming up this weekend. And with us right now from the great state of Iowa, NASCAR Fred. Good morning, Fred. How are you?
Good morning. Boy, this week off, it almost seems as long as the off season, doesn't it?
It seemed like a very, very long stretch, right? Of course, we got J-Rod in studio today, and so, yeah, you're right. It seemed like we're through the entire off season just for one weekend off.
It's actually the off season. It's not much longer than that.
That's true.
Yeah, it'll be nice to get back to racing this weekend, back to kind of more familiar surroundings, too, after the whole crazy dirt weekend thing.
Yeah, and they continued it on this last weekend, too. A lot of them went dirt racing themselves in modifieds and late models. But, yeah, getting back to the paperclip here with is going to be back to reality and moving forward with the season.
Well, before we talk about Martinsville, I want to get to some other news and notes from NASCAR. And one of the things that we can expect to see coming up on in May is they're going to debut some new cars on Cinco de Mayo, by the way, May 5th. The new generation design that'll hit the track in 2022, we're going to they're going to take the wraps off some of those next generation Cup Series cars coming up on May 5th.
They were doing like generation 5, generation 6. I think they've kind of lost count now, so it's just next generation. I'm not sure what they'll do after this.
Just stop counting after a while, right? Is that just the next one?
I can't count that high with my shoes on. They have been doing some testing on these cars. Of course, they did some tire testing just within the last week or two here at Martinsville. And they've had, like you said, under wraps. They've had them disguised. It's kind of comical sometimes how they do those. They, you see this car running, and, well, that doesn't really, it's not what it's really going to look like. They're going to, you know, they do go to great lengths to keep things secret so they can have the big unveil. But I'm looking forward to see. I don't know if there are going to be any radical changes, but it's always interesting to see what they come up with.
One of the things I guess they're doing, evaluating the use of a 6-speed transmission, also a carbon fiber tub on these new next-generation cars.
You know, it's interesting. Tyler Reddick, they were testing Darlington yesterday. He ended up scraping the wall. I think he's probably one of the very few that have tried to test the durability of the next-gen car. But it's interesting, you know, in conversation, you have a lot of teams with these cars for 2021, let's just say, and now they're switching to the next-gen car next year. Everything, basically all these old cars are junk. You can't use the wheels and tires. Well, the tires you can, but they can't use the wheels. You can't use the cars for anything. It's a whole different animal in itself. And like you were talking about, Fred, we've had generation 1 through generation 7, and we just keep moving on.
Right. They've also, some things like they've moved the driver a little closer to the center of the car. That's, of course, in the interest of safety. It's always been a thing, you know, getting hit in the driver's door because it's about the worst thing that can happen to you out there. So they're addressing that along with that carbon fiber tub. You know, so some things that they borrowed from other racing disciplines, Formula One or whatever, in the interest of keeping the driver safe. NASCAR, you know, notably, they're a little bit behind the times. I mean, it's just a few years ago they finally started using fuel injection in their cars, and it's just throttle body injection at that. But So, some of the changes definitely going to be in the interest of safety. Talking about how the radical the difference is this time, that's really going to hurt some people. Like, I'm thinking in terms of Michael McDowell. They were saying, you know, after he won Daytona, and he's been running well since then, that there haven't been that many changes in the cars in the last 2 or 3 years, which really benefits them because they can basically use the same cars and just kind of improving, get a little bit better, and kind of get more competitive. But it's all going to be back to the drawing board next year.
Well, and I think, too, you're going to have to buy the chassis there again. I mean, it's not like they're really doing that now to an extent. But, you know, all these teams, for the most part, the bigger teams have their own chassis fab department and build all this stuff. Yes, it has to go through NASCAR approval. But still, NASCAR's taking all of that away and making everything come straight from them. And it takes away the competitiveness. I mean, there's gray areas in anything. We know that with any sport. And you bend the rules.
They've always bent the rules. It's that's as long as they've been racing, people have been bending the rules, trying to get that little bit of an advantage. Looking at a couple of other things about the next-gen car, like you said, the 6-speed sequential shift transmission. Now, I don't know, are they going to keep using a gear shift, or are they going to go to the flappy paddles on the steering wheel? That I don't know about. Independent rear suspension, that's another great leap forward. That's really going to affect the way the cars handle.
All right, points heading into Martinsville on Saturday. Denny Hamlin, your points later. So we go to Martinsville, the Blue Emu 500, 5:30 yard time, Fox Sports 1 this Saturday. And a guy to keep your eye on is Martin Truex Jr. Won the 2019 fall race at Martinsville, won the spring race last year for his only victory of the season. And the wise guys in Vegas have him as the favorite on Saturday at Martinsville.
Yeah, well, Jimmy Johnson, of course, kind of ruled. He's got a whole room full of those grandfather clocks. I mean, what did he get, 10 or 11 or something like that when it's all said and done. But the guy now who has the most wins at Martinsville, that's Denny Hamlin. And, yeah, Truex has definitely been hot. You know, once he finally found his short track mojo, there's been no stopping him. I think, though, I'm really keeping my eye on Denny Hamlin this weekend. He's been there. Like I said, he's leading the points, even though he hasn't won yet this year. He's been up there running up front all season long. And I think Denny's going to turn it on and get one this weekend.
It's hard to argue with that. I mean, Denny Hamlin is like home. I don't know if he can pull it off. I think, yeah, he's got a great chance. I think one that's probably is starting right behind him, Chase Elliott. I think he's got a good chance at it. And I'm going to be on the Kyle Larson train. I think he might be one to be having the chrome horn adjusted to get to the front.
Chase Elliott did win the last race at Martinsville last fall.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to go with Brad Keselowski. Right now, kind of fourth in odds, according to BetMGM. So I'm gonna take some Brad. Give me some Brad Keselowski for Saturday. What about you, Buckeye?
I don't even know.
I'm glad you're so prepared for this segment.
I'm super locked in. I really am.
Do you want me to just give you one?
No, hold on. No.
Okay, pick one. Seconds. Good.
You know what? I'm gonna go with. I had his name right in my head.
Richard Petty.
Go with Dick Trickle.
How about some Dick Trickle?
Let's go with, Logano. Sorry.
Troy Logano, okay.
It was right there, and it just completely left.
Denny Hamlin, by the way, 5 wins in his 30 Martinsville starts, finished in the top 10 on 21 different occasions. So, yeah, Denny Hamlin, not a bad guy to go with in this race on Saturday. Once again, 5:30 FS1 for the race of Martinsville, the Blue Emu 500. Anything else, guys? Any other odds and ends here?
I'm seeing that they're toying with the idea of putting a roof over the Bristol track. That would be interesting.
Indoor racing.
Yeah.
Or kind of indoor racing, right?
Well, you know, Bruton Smith had all the, you know, he was always one to try something outrageous. And his son, Marcus Smith, is the CEO of Speedway Motorsports now. Kind of the same, cut from the same cloth. He's like, why not? We can do this. You know, they're the guys that brought in 23,000 tons of dirt and made a dirt track out of it, too. We can put a roof over it. Heck yeah.
We can do anything.
So we could see it. It's within the realm of possibility. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, anything's possible in NASCAR. We're finding that out.
Certainly, 2020 certainly has led to a lot of creative ideas when it comes to the sport. No doubt about that. Hey, guys, appreciate it. Enjoy the race on Saturday. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, take care. All right, NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan in the garage. Don't forget, that's this Saturday, Fox Sports 1, 5:30 from Martinsville, the Blue Emu 500. All right, coming up later on today, 12:30, Rockies baseball. See if the Rockies can get the series win against Arizona. John Gray on the bump today for the Colorado Rockies. We'll see if John can bounce back after the full-body cramping. That was a great performance.
Let's hope he could just limit the cramps to one area.
Yeah, it was pitching really well against the Dodgers before he got shut down with the full body cramping. Eat that banana, John, because he said, you know, I didn't eat my customary banana.
I had mine.
I know. So, but I'd rather have him eat his. Give him your banana, right?
Right.
Because you're not pitching today.
No.
Well, I don't. Yeah, now it's too gone.
It's
too far gone. Yeah, I don't want you to stick your finger down your throat.
No.
Here's your banana if you want it. Blah. No. But 12:30 today, Jack Horgan, Mike Rice with the call right here on the team. I'm off tomorrow. You're off tomorrow, yep. Buckeye. So it'll be Tyler and Katie in here tomorrow, and then Tyler Cake and Buffalo Mark on Monday. So I'll be off Monday as well. So don't forget, Colorado Mesa baseball tomorrow night, Mavericks Metro State 5:45 tomorrow night, and I'll see you back here on Tuesday.